You believe you are invisible, as you're supposed to be. But you're not. Not to me. The butler, Harris, refills my wine glass. Do I really have to be entertaining again? It's almost entirely against my wishes. And you, my unusually attractive housekeeper, are visible right over the shoulder of the man sitting at the far end of the table from me. He is the peacock I'm meant to be admiring. My housekeeper. My servant. Mine. There's something delicious and terrible in that word when I think of you. I'm only your employer. Yet some ancient and primal part of me wants to own you. Own your body. Take you to my bed. Do every terrible thing that no proper lady could ever condone. No woman of any standing. Do every last thing that explains why I've never married. Why I must protect any woman from the depths of depravity, my lust. You're so much more beautiful than all these others, although you're dressed so simply. Quietly organizing whatever's taking place in the hallway as the servants move about. You always set the example for the others. You inspire them to take pride in their work. You listen to them. You've reduced complaints and made my household the envy of many others. There you are now, back straight, knees ever so slightly bent, so as not to droop as the hours stretch on. How these guests are droning on. Now all I can think about is the wall beneath the staircase out in the hallway. No more than a foot behind the only woman I want here. The only person. My body may be sitting in this chair holding a glass of passable wine, but my mind is in that hallway with you. There's a special production at the theater tonight. Everyone at the table rises. Most of the other servants around the room blink themselves back into motion like reptiles that have been lying in the cold for too long. You respond more quickly. So responsive. So instantly responsive. When I give you any command, you're more awake than the others. Have I been the one keeping you awake? How I want to. Steal your sleep, fill your nights, fill your soul. Finally, I'm walking toward you, although you pretend to be too busy to notice. The drunken peacock has carried his glass from the table. You move to follow, but I stop your foot with mine. Before I can speak, Harris appears as if the devil conjured him there. As usual, he smells of silver polish. You, on the other hand, made changes as soon as you came into my house. Now all of the household laundry smells faintly of lavender. You smell of lavender. That means that my bed sheets smell faintly of you every maddening night. It's so rare that I'm so near to you. Harris is jealous of my time, as you well know. To him, I'm a status object. At times, I'm certain he would wear me like a sash if he were able. To you, I'm a woman. When you look at me, I feel like a woman. My body responds on its own. Despite your best efforts, your stolen glances and otherwise lowered eyes fail to hide your interest. Fail wonderfully. I try to stop Harris from intruding. I wish to speak to my housekeeper. He says, I'm certain I can. I interrupt him. You look remarkably unlike a housekeeper, Harris, he says. Thank you, ma'am. I'm certain I can do anything. So I ask him, those are trousers you're wearing, yes? That makes him pause. Yes, ma'am. I have no need of a person in trousers at this precise moment, so unless you'd care to change your clothes... No, ma'am. Harris glares at you for a long moment, which I believe takes real bravery. I have little patience with bullies, and he will soon know it. Finally, he nods, but he seems to make up his mind about something. That never bodes well. However, on the positive side, he leaves. The drunken peacock reaches the open front door. He drops his glass behind him where it smashes. Some drops of wine even splash onto my shoe. The other servants race to clean up the mess and the broken glass. I pull you gently into the dining room, just out of view of the others. Immediately, we speak over each other. You say, I'm terribly sorry, just as quickly as I say, it's not your fault. You pull a clean handkerchief out of your sleeve. I reach out to take it from you, to assure you it will not be needed, but, to my astonishment, you drop to your knees on the rug at my feet. You tuck your fingers under the hem of my gown and start dabbing away at the spots of liquid. Mrs. My tone is breathless. What could I possibly say? I clench my hand into a fist to try and regain control of my body. Dab. Dab, dab. My control is slipping. The others have disappeared outside or into the back of the house. Someone will return at any moment. Neither of us can deny the tension in the air. We're both silent. It sounds as if everything in the house has stopped except for the steady, ominous ticking of the grandfather clock. It warns me. Your touch will ruin her. Your unchecked desire will destroy her. She cannot withstand what you would do to her with your teeth, your nails, your tongue, your soul. You slowly pull back, turn the toes of your boots in, and sit back on your heels. Slowly, ever so slowly, you look up the length of my body, leaving me scorched in every place your gaze touches me. You're looking up to see my reaction, and you're worried, almost scared. You wonder what will happen to you. You are afraid of what you will have to pay for this impropriety. You have touched me, directly, an item of clothing as I am wearing it. You may well be expecting a reprimand, even a look of horror. But there is no rebuke in my mouth. All I want in my mouth is your skin, your fingers, your breasts. You know your place. I know your place. It is beneath me, but not in the way that I am aching for. This is madness, and it cannot continue. My control will unravel if I do not stop this now. So it is time to frighten you with the truth. I whisper, but the words pain me to say them. Stand up. When you have, I ask you bluntly, without even the thinnest veneer of civilization. Do you fantasize about me? You hesitate, and then nod. Do you know the word fuck? You nod again. I whisper directly against your ear. Do you know how desperately I need to fuck you? Do you have any idea how much the thought has been tormenting me every day since we met? I have fantasized about fucking you against that wall behind you. Dark fantasies. About holding my hand over your mouth so your screams cannot be heard. pull away to check your expression, but you are only listening intently. You've not run away. Shocked, I ask, can you not see what kind of woman I am? You simply nod again, foregoing calling me ma'am each time you speak so that our conversation remains as quiet as possible. My voice deepens and darkens. My hand over your mouth as I lift your skirts, force your legs apart, force my fingers inside you. I would ruin you, damage you beyond words, put your mind, your heart, your life, even your soul in peril. You're staring at my mouth as if my words are the finest wine, the most delectable chocolate. I've watched you for so long, I've never seen you look at any other the way you're looking at me now. So I must demand. Say what you're thinking, now. Ma'am? Have you ever taken someone against their will? Not in fantasy, in real life. That I can answer quickly and truthfully. Never. But I have fantasized about it, and I'm far from proud of that. I have fantasized about that and worse with you. You cannot understand the darkness in my mind. You tell me, I am your servant, to do with as you please. I do your bidding in all things. It is impossible that you do not see the growing hunger in my eyes. The basest beast inside me is slipping its bonds. I give you one last warning. I give you one last warning, afraid that it will not work, terrified that it will. I would break you beneath me. I would draw blood from you. I would scare you out of your senses until you went screaming to the police. I will never forget what you say in response, the blush of want in your voice. Ma'am, I do not run very quickly.